And I want to introduce now Dr. Pierce Lyons, our founder, president of Alltech. And Alltech, by the way, is in 128 countries around the world. Good morning.
Good morning.
Come on, come on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I wasn't in bed till late also, so I need a little bit of that hug, you know, get me revved up and so forth. Truly it's fantastic to see so many real heroes, because the farmers are real heroes. I have to make a confession. I have never been a farmer. I have to make a confession. I have never milked a cow. I have to make a confession. When I once brought my wife onto a dairy farm, she thought it was going to be so smelly that she was spraying her perfume all over herself and also over me. But I love farming, and I love farmers. And I like farming, and I like farmers because you guys make the decision. You make the decision. And so this morning, we're going to challenge you about what it is that you're doing. And why are you doing it? Our story, yes, Jeff has given it to you. Most of you perhaps don't know that the Alltech that you know is run by and created for a woman. You know, behind every successful man, there is what? A surprised woman. But the ALL, for example, are the initials of my daughter. And the colors my wife gave. My job is just to get out there and do my thing, and their job is to make sure behind the scenes things work and work properly. But this is who Alltech is, and we're number 7. I've been in the state of Kentucky for many years now, but we are number 7 in animal health. And let me tell you, as a citizen or as an inhabitant of the state of Kentucky, we're fixing, y'all. Because that's where we speak around here, to become number 1. And with your help, we will become number 1. Our goal is to be number 1. But our goal, our real goal, is to help you. That's our real goal. And I have changed the direction of our company, saying to our guys, till they are sick and tired of hearing it, we are on farm. And we're going to circumvent whatever it is that stops us from going on farm so we can bring the solutions to you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you with a number of things. So write them down. There's a famous comedian in Ireland. And every time he told a good story, he would say, that's a good story, that's a good joke. Write it down. So guys, start writing it down. Because you know what? If you think it, you should ink it. And if you write it down, you're far more likely to make it happen. So my first challenge to you is to dream. I asked some of my people this morning, I said, what is your dream? What is it that you really would love to do? And one lady has been working with me for maybe 15, 20 years. And I never knew that her dream was so simple. Her dream was to go to Australia. Now, frankly, we Irish never dreamt of going to Australia. We were sent to Australia, typically as prisoners and so forth. I remember once going to Australia and they're all laughing at me, etc. And I said, shut up. I'm the first one in my family to go to Australia voluntarily. Because all the other ones went as prisoners. But I want you to dream. What is your dream? This girl's dream is to go to Australia. What is your dream? And are you going to go to your grave, and on their gravestone is they're going to say, this man didn't have a dream, and therefore he didn't have a dream that was fulfilled. So what is your dream? Do you dare? Do you dare to do things? I have a PhD. I have a PhD in mistakes. Probably 5 PhDs in mistakes. But you know, if you don't dare get out and do something different, It's not going to happen. So dream and dare. Desire. I mean, you really have to want to make it happen. You really have to want to make it happen. So what is it that you desire? Decide. Just shut up and do it. Don't get it right. Get it going. And finally, the definition of genius is what? 98% perspiration and 2% inspiration. My children, when they were growing up, they said, "Dad, we hear that much more." And in their room, it had genius, 98% perspiration, and 2% inspiration. So we have to be prepared to dedicate. Let me give you some questions. And if you think these are impertinent, so be it. If you think these are thought-provoking, so be it. Question number one. Why do you lose money? We don't. I can't afford to lose money. I don't have any equity to lose money. Oh, we're eating into our equity. I mean, that's eating into your inheritance. That's eating into your future. Why do you lose money? And why don't you stop losing money or get out of farming? Are you stuck in the past? This is the way it was always done. This is the way. What a load of nonsense. Are you stuck in the past? Why do you pull out all the additives when the going gets tough? Surely you should be putting them in when the going gets tough. And if they're so poor that you pull them out when the going gets tough, they should have been in there in the first place. So stop and ask yourself the question. Who owns the animals? You or the nutritionist? Who owns the animals? Who takes the risk? You or the nutritionist? Oh, we can't change anything. There's a nutritionist. You're losing money. Change the nutritionist. I hope there's no nutritionist. And incidentally, I'm not the favorite guy of nutritionists. I'm jealous. Do you accept high commodity prices, moan and groan about them, and yet you don't use alternative raw materials? Or you don't know how to use alternative raw materials? Or you haven't sought out alternative raw materials? And incidentally, distillers' dried grains is not exactly an alternative raw material. It has the other things out there. Why is it that one cow in second or third lactation in Wisconsin gets 72,000 pounds? And why is it our Brazilian friends here went all the way over to Israel to see how the Israelis got 36,000 pounds? They could have gone to Wisconsin and saw a cow getting 72,000 pounds. But why is it that one cow, the world record, 72,000 pounds? In the early 50s, I'm glued to the radio. And something extraordinary happened. And it happened in Oxford. And this man did what nobody else had done before. This man did something that people said, when he does it, he will die. He'll probably die by the time he's 50 because of the damage he will do to his health. It's impossible. And who was this man? Roger Bannister. And Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Roger Bannister never broke a physical barrier. He broke a mental barrier. Within weeks, 3, 4, 5 people broke the 4-minute mile. And now it's commonplace. Well, it should also be commonplace for us to break this mental barrier and get more milk. You're in this hotel. And I've been in this room, and I've spoken in this room for 5, 6, 7 years. And it's the same darn carpet. Identical carpet. But why is it that they cannot afford to get rid of the carpet after 7 years and don't feel that they need to get rid of the carpet after 7 years, and yet many of you get rid of the dirty cow after 2 lactation. That's crazy. Your most expensive piece of equipment, you get rid of. Why? Why is it that 54%, figure him out yesterday, 54% of all the cows in New York and Pennsylvania are lame. 54%. Is that not extraordinary? Do you think a lame cow is going to perform? 54%. Why is it that you allow branding to go around you and through you, but you don't get involved? Why is it that when that cow-calf operation, the calf leaves the farm, it's out of the gate, out of sight, out of mind? Coke. Think about it. Here's a product, Coke, that rots your teeth, that makes you big and fat, that guarantees that you'll be injecting yourself with insulin by the time you're 50, and rusts nails. And yet through marketing, this very product gets more per gallon than we do per gallon. Why? Oh, but we're going to put a marketing program together. What marketing program? What? A guy with who's sliding, just has some milk on his face. That's not marketing. So why is it that we allow these things to happen? We need to learn to brand. Are you glad when the calf leaves? Out of gate, out of mind, out of pocket. Are you happy with events that you think you have no control over? Milk prices, profitability, branding, lost leaders. I mean, why is it that you go into a supermarket and milk is always the lost leader? And you beat you down. Stop milking your cows. Stop raising your beef animals. Let Kroger's die for a few weeks. You're in control of your animals. Why not? Do you see yourself as an environmental abuser? Remember, you're losing money. And yet they say you're abusing the atmosphere. You're losing money, and yet they say you're abusing the animals. I've never met a beef farmer or a dairy farmer who abuses his animals. They're his livelihood or her livelihood. But why is it this perception is out there? Ladies and gentlemen, to be successful, we have to have curiosity. The curiosity of a six-year-old. You know, a six-year-old comes up and says, why that? Why that? Why? 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 Until finally you say, why don't you shut up? Or why don't you ask your mum? She knows everything. No, she does, because she told me she does. So we need to have curiosity. And we're going to talk to you about curiosity. We're also going to talk to you about the fundamentals. And the fundamentals come back to a change. Yesterday, everything was, you want to improve performance, we'll give you a stress pack. Today, we're talking about function. The function and form of some of our ingredients. Today, we're talking about carcass quality. How do we improve carcass quality? How do we get more milk? How do we get more weight? How do we get less mastitis? How do we have less foot problems? And what's happened is a revolution. And this is the revolution. And it's called a gene chip. And with the advent of the gene chip, everything was changed. Very soon when you go to the doctor, he won't want to see you, he'll simply want to see your gene chip. What genes are switched on, what genes are switched off, what's happening at the molecular level. This is not genetic engineering, this is fundamental science. And with that fundamental science, now we can move forward. And now we can switch on and switch off genes to give us better meat quality, and you will taste it again and again during your 2 days. To give us more milk production, you'll hear about that, and to give us a faster growing beef animal. All coming down to the gene chip. When I went to university, I was a reluctant student. What did I ever want to go to university for? My mom had 6 children. You could describe her many, many ways. Loving mom and all that good stuff. Don't give me that nonsense. My mom was one thing. She was a dictator. And she said, you will go to university, and we all trotted off to university. When I got there, my gosh, I didn't want to be there. Medicine was 7 years. Who the heck wants to be medicine doctor 7 years? And I backed and backed and backed, and finally came into chemistry, science. It was 3 years. The girls were prettier. From that, I got to something I really loved. What I really loved was biochemistry. This is about biochemistry. This is about what's really happening at the molecular level. And what we can learn is how we look at the function, for example, of zinc or something like that, and how we in fact can really understand with the gene chip and make it work properly. Prevent diseases. Incidentally, not just for our animals, but also for humans. Protect the rumen. Promote an early start. And this is a cartoon, and we purposely put it up as a cartoon because it's a story. It's a story about how we can manipulate the rumen, how we can get higher yield, how we can get fewer days to market, how we can reduce impact of the environment, all driven by the gene chip. And later on this morning, Kate Jakes will explain this to you. And the same applies for the dairy cow. But how do we use them? Rule number one, write it down. Rule number one. How many of you have land, any land? Virtually everybody, right? Dairy farmers, beef farmers have land. Well, the problem at the moment is that we are hung up with fertilizers and pesticides and fungicides, and we're not hung up with the nutrition of the plant. And once again, the gene chip. So we've been working in this area. We have a product called GrainSet. We went out into Iowa, and literally within days, we had 60, 70,000 acres on this product. Very simple. You apply it at the three-leaf stage. Very simple. And what did they see? They saw what we had seen for years and years. They saw this difference with and without the root development. And not just that, that translated into between a half and 1 ton of grain per acre. Think about it. By nutrition of the plant rather than fertilizers, pesticides, etc., we come up with half to 1 ton more grain per acre, and we did it consistently. The value? $200 an acre. At a time where we need more grains from our land, at a time when we need to be stewards of our land, and that's only half the story. Because the rest of the story is that we have higher starch content in the grain, or alfalfa. We have higher protein content. And so when you translate that into milk production, for example, you get something like $728 per acre. Think about it. Think about it. We are now working from the seed all the way through feed, all the way to the table. So we got to be aware of what's happening in this area. So $928 is costing about $11. And this is not magic. This is reality, and we've been doing it for 20 years. But it's only now that people are beginning to say, hey, you know what? That is the way to do things. Alfalfa, we get the same effects. Rule number two, understand the rumen. Because that's what it's all about. The rumen is simply a fermenter. And as a fermenter, we have to look after it. We produce enzymes in a fermenter. We produce bacteria in a fermenter. We produce yeast in a fermenter. And if I mess around with my fermenters, let me tell you, we don't get the yields. So you cannot afford to mess around with your fermenter, which is this walking fermenter. And in this walking fermenter, What do we have? We have a fermenter which is unstable. And we get hung up to the Cornell models or other models. And we overlook the fact that your fermenter is unstable. And if we go back to the fundamentals of this walking fermenter, what you'll find is we can do something about it. And there are tools there, and we have tools there, which will remove oxygen, because oxygen makes the fermenter unstable. Remove sugar, because sugar makes the fermenter unstable. And balance the pH. And then the fermenter is working properly. Let me show you. We go to our toolbox, and for 120 countries in 32 years, we put together our toolbox. This is the fermenter, and the variation in the pH in the fermenter, just in a normal way. And as you see, it goes up and down and up and down. If I had that in my fermenter, it would be a disaster. In our fermenters, our pH, our acidity, doesn't vary but 0.1, 0.2 over the full 48 hours or 50 hours that we run the fermenters. So we put something in to remove the oxygen, to remove the sugar, and then we get this brown line here, and you notice it's above that 6, and above 6 the fermenter, the rumen, works perfectly. Rule number one, look after that fermenter. It's stable. Rule number three is feed the fermenter nitrogen and carbohydrate. Not one without the other. Feed the fermenter. And you feed that fermenter because the more nitrogen that's in there, consistently, the better will the fermenter run. And that's where technologies such as what we call our oxygen come into play. And if you have a look here, in the blue line there, we have, that's what's required in the fermenter for microbial growth, and we get two deficits. So we have to avoid those deficits. And how do we do it? By spoon feeding, by phase feeding, by time release of a nitrogen source. And we add to that the carbohydrate. Because in the coating of the oxygen, we now put an enzyme to release the carbohydrate, so now we have a stable fermenter. It's got nitrogen, it's got carbohydrate, you have productivity. And 1.1 is now 2, 1.1 becomes 2.7. And you'll hear about that. And how do I know it works? I don't know what's the matter with you guys. Why is it that every beef farmer, why is it that every dairy farmer is hung up with looking at manure? Let's go see some cows. So you look at the cows, and then look at the manure. Well, look at the manure, and you should look at the manure, because there's your model. That's telling you what's happening. And what you'll see is, with and without, less undigested grain, less undigested fiber, the rumen, the fermenter, is working best. So let your little sieving test tell you what's happening. I want more fertility. You want more fertility, and every time you go to the pharmacy, you're picking up your one-a-day vitamins, and you're also hearing about these omega-3s, DHA. So why don't you put DHA in there? It's fantastic for embryonic development, DHA. And you only have to walk down an aisle of the pharmacy, and you get the message in our toolbox. That's why we have an algae factory, the biggest in the world, not 20 miles from. And in that algae factory, we produce DHA. And when that DHA goes into a product and time release again, and perhaps into the milk, into the protected fat, we will have animals coming back into service, shorter interval between calving, more milk production. Rule number five is watch out for mycotoxins, the hidden killer on farms. When a company like ADM puts out a warning on distillers' dried grains and said, be careful, don't feed to chickens, don't feed to pigs, don't feed to cats, and be careful feeding to beef, who are you going to feed this stuff to? And what they're talking about are mycotoxins. And we've been doing a lot of work in that area, and you'll hear about it. It's an unprecedented danger. And so what we've done is we've had a breakthrough, and we've created something where we can actually measure and bind the mycotoxins. We call it A+. So don't overlook mycotoxin. Number six, your minerals. And you'll hear about this later on too. You know, no animal was ever fed an inorganic mineral. No animal was ever fed an inorganic mineral. And no animal was ever fed sodium selenite, ever. Until we in our wisdom decided that's what we're going to feed. So we have to mimic nature and feed the minerals in the right form. When you find these minerals in nature, they're in a chelated, they're in a bound form, and you'll hear about that also. So today, we're going to hear about prize steaks. Not only are we going to hear about it, we're going to taste them. Then you're going to experience some of the best steak you ever had. Today you're going to hear about a producer program. How can we push that animal in the cow-calf operation so that when that animal leaves, it'll be 100 pounds heavier, or when that animal leaves, it will grade better out in the feed yard, so much so that when you come back in, you'll get a better price. And we call it the producer program, the beef connection. You're going to hear about forages. Still the cheapest raw material on a farm. And what we do with the forages. And once again, keeping that rumen healthy. You're going to hear about mycotoxins. You're going to hear about carbon footprints. Think about it. New Zealand is proposing a tax. A carbon tax. And it's going to be $14 per cow per year. If you've got 1,000 cows, it's $14,000. If you've got 2,000 cows, it's $28,000. Obama hasn't heard of this one yet. When he does, rest assured, it's not just the wealthy going to be taxed, your cows are going to be taxed. It's going to start in California and move through. This carbon footprint is real. And you're going to hear about what we call the pillars. You have to be able to analyze what your carbon footprint is. We have to be able to make a recommendation, implement the recommendation, and then go back and analyze again and show that you're truly reducing carbon footprint. Guys, whether we like it or not, it's with us. You're going to hear about the signals. The signals. Well, what signals are the animals giving you? You just look at the animals and they'll tell you. And you're going to hear a very interesting talk in that area. You're going to hear about branding. Why bother about branding? And why is a brand so important? And how can we do something about it? You're going to hear about your workforce. Your greatest investment is your workforce. Why is it? You say, well, they're all my workforce is Hispanic. But the owner doesn't speak Spanish. So how can you possibly motivate a workforce who's Hispanic if you don't speak Spanish? So we've got to know how to connect with our workforce regardless of the language. We're going to help you find people, hold people, make money, connect with the right nutritionist. Stop talking products, we're going to start talking profits. Because that's what we have to be all about. And finally, I want to tell you the most important words in our language. And first of all, one. We. We together can make this happen. And secondly, thank you. How many times do we forget to say thank you? If you please, number three. Number four, what do you think? Number five, you did a great job. If you want to hold on to your people, you better use these words. And you better not use this word, I. And you're going to hear about that as we go through our program.